This will be part two of the study on how the NIV denies the deity of Christ. And as you remember, we're basically just going through the outline that we did in church on the deity of Christ. And we're looking at what the NIV and also what the New World Translation says for all these verses that were used to prove the deity of Christ. And some of them actually end up doing okay. So, like I said, I didn't cherry pick. We're just going to look at all of them, and some of them will pass and some of them will fail, but that's typical, because if the devil's going to corrupt the Bible, he's not going to corrupt every single verse, or else people would throw it out like the New World Translation and recognize it not to be a Bible. So the NIV is a much better trick in the up the devil's sleeve than the New World Translation is. The New World Translation was far too obvious. So if you have the outline, we're on page 7, point number 2, where we talked, if you remember in the sermon, on how Jehovah God used the phrase, I am He, a total of 5 times back in the Old Testament, to declare Himself. This was His signature when He says, I am He, 5 times in the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah 41 and verse 4 was the first one. It says, Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. Let's see what the New World Translation says for that one. It says, Who has acted and done this, summoning the generations from the beginning, I, Jehovah, am the first one, and with the last ones. That's interesting.
Yeah.
With the last ones. Yeah, because God says in the King James, I'm the first and the last. And then He says, I am the same. I am the same. He doesn't say, I am He. And the New World Translation actually fails on all 5 of these verses, and we'll read it. The NIV doesn't fail on all 5. I think it does fail. I'd have to look. I think it does fail on 1 or 2 of them. So anyway, it's interesting here that they apparently thought ahead far enough to realize that when Jehovah says that I am He and Jesus says I am the He, Jesus is claiming to be Jehovah, so they figured this one out. Some of them we've seen that the New World Translation missed, that they couldn't think that far ahead, I guess. But on this one, they did a good job. Isaiah 41:4 in the NIV gets a pass. It says, Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am He. See, actually, it gets a pass on the I am He thing, but I just noticed this. It says, I, the Lord, with the first of them. The Lord says, I am the Lord, the first, and with the last. So, yeah, they get that, the first of them, they get that one messed up. But they do get the I am He. Isaiah 43:10. In the King James, it says, Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me.
Amen.
Let's see what the old New World Translation has to say about this. Because remember, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus is a God, small case g, and that God created the God Jesus, and then the God Jesus created everything else. It's just another form of pagan religion, which pagan religions had that same idea of gods begetting, creating gods, and then the other gods would sully themselves in the material creation because God can't be involved in material things, like the Gnostics believed similar things. Isaiah 43:10 in the New World Translation says, You are my witnesses, declares Jehovah, yes, my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and have faith in me and understand that I am the same one. Before me no God, capital G, was formed, and after me there has been none. So I guess they get around, I don't know, but I guess they get around that by they say that Jesus is a lowercase g God in John 1:1. I don't know. I'm not sure how they get around that. But anyway, it's interesting that God says in their own Bible, before me was there no God formed, and after me there shall be none. So in their own Bible, their God says that no God has been formed after Him. But yet, they say that a God was formed after Jehovah. His name was Jesus. So their own Bible condemns their position. And plus they fail because they say, I am the same one. Instead of God saying, I am He, He says, I am the same one. I don't know what that means. I'm the same one. But so it fails on that account. I am the same one of what? I'm expecting too much here, I suppose. The NIV says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me." So the NIV gets a pass on that one. It does say, "I am he." Isaiah 43 and verse 13. In the King James, "Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" Now here's the New World Translation. It says also, "I am always the same one." They say the same thing for all these verses. I'm the same one, not I am he. "I am always the same one, and no one can snatch anything out of my hand. When I act, who can prevent it?" So they get a fail on that one. I just find this the modern language of these versions funny. They just don't even sound like a Bible at all.
They don't.
The Bible's not supposed to sound like a newspaper.
Right.
The Bible's the Word of God.
Amen.
Isaiah 43:13 in the NIV says, "Yes, and from ancient times I am He. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?" So the NIV gets a pass on that one. Again, they do say, "I am he." Isaiah 46:4, King James, "And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." The New Worldly Translation says, "Until you grow old, I will be the same. Until your hair is gray, I will keep bearing you. As I have done, I will carry you and bear you and rescue you." So once again, it does not say that God is I am He. And the NIV gets a pass on this one too. "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He." So they get that right, but if I remember right, the NIV does end up failing, and we will see this on one of the verses where Jesus says, "I am He," the NIV does mess up on that one. And we'll get to that one in just a second. Let's get one more here to show you that the New World Translation fouls up all five of them. Isaiah 48 and verse 12. King James says, "Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am He. I am the first, I also am the last." The New World Translation says, "Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, whom I have called, I am the same one. I am the first, I am also the last." So once again, it does not say I am He. Breaking that link, showing that Jesus Christ is God. And the NIV gets a pass. It does say I am He in that verse as well. So let's look at the ones here in the New Testament. And we'll see here, especially with the New World Translation, the concerted effort to show or to not show that Jesus Christ is God. And the NIV falls into this trap once itself. So John 8:24, is the first one, where Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." So Jesus is hearkening back here to what God says. God says, "I am He." Then Jesus says, "I am He." But the New World Translation doesn't make that connection. It says, "That is why I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am the one, you will die in your sins." So it's not consistent with itself. And it doesn't say what the true word says either. It doesn't say I am He in both places, but it doesn't even say the same thing in both places. See, Jesus said, "I am the one," and in the New World Translation, it says, "I am the same one." So it doesn't even have the same language in both places. And another place it says, "I am the same." So you couldn't even get the comparison where it shows that Jesus is God. John 8 and verse 28. John 8:28. In the King James it says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Now, interestingly, the New World Translation gets this one right. It says, "Then said Jesus," or "Jesus said then, after you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of my own initiative, but just as the Father taught me, I speak these things." So it does get it correct where Jesus says, "I am He," but it doesn't mean anything in the New World Translation, because when you go back to the Old Testament, God doesn't say, "I am He." So as long as you break the link in one place or the other, you've broken it. So in most places, it breaks both sides. But as long as they break it one place, you couldn't prove from these verses that Jesus is God.
That's right.
The NIV gets this one right. Jesus says, "I am He," and I'll spare you reading the verse again.
Pastor?
Yeah.
But you said that you're talking about the NIV.
Okay, John 13:19 is the next one. It says, "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, that ye may believe that I am He." Once again, the New World Translation gets this one right. And here, this is interesting. On this one, the New World Translation gets it right, and the NIV fails in this one. So it's pretty bad whenever the NIV is worse than the New World Translation on some of these verses, and that is the case sometimes. The New World Translation says, "From this moment on, I am telling you before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am He." So it gets a pass on this verse, but like I said, it doesn't really matter because God doesn't say, "I am He" in their version back in the Old Testament anyway.
Right.
So it passes, sort of, but it still doesn't prove that Jesus is God. Now, the NIV fails in this one. It says, "I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am." So, once again, Jesus doesn't really say much of anything, the NIV Jesus there, when he says, "I am who I am." I could say, "I am who I am." Any of you could say, "I am who I am." That doesn't say anything.
Yeah, it's called tautology, and poor form in writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Corum writes the types of books that Jason Corum writes. It
yeah.
Says nothing.
Yes. Exactly.
And it sounds like "I am that I am," but it's not.
Yeah.
It's clever.
I am who I am. Yeah. Yeah. And that's something. So the NIV fails in that one. John 18:5-6. King James says, "They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth." This is whenever they come to get Jesus in the garden.
Yeah.
"Jesus saith unto them, I am He. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am He, they went backward and fell to the ground." So he says, "I am He," twice there. The New World Translation gets this one right again. "They answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. He saith to them, I am He. Now Judas, his betrayer, was also standing with them. However, when Jesus said to them, I am He, they drew back and fell to the ground." So once again, they get it right, but it doesn't prove that Jesus is God because they messed up the link in the Old Testament. The NIV gets this one right too. Jesus does say, I am He. And the last one of this group is John 18:8. Jesus answered, this is the King James, "I have told you that I am He. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way." And the New World Translation and the NIV both get it right, saying, "I am He." So we see that the King James proves every time from these verses that He is God, because He says, "I am He," every time. Whereas the New World Translation messes it up several times, the NIV messes it up once, and the New World Translation messes all the ones up in the Old Testament. So the New World Translation gets 0 out of 5. The NIV gets, a few out of 5 anyway. But even 3 out of 5 is still a failure. It's 60%, so pretty well failed on that one. So the things that Jesus said and did would be blasphemy for anybody but God to say. And if you remember this section here, we were just looking at some of the claims that Jesus himself made, and not claims where he would just flat out say, "I am God," but where things that he would say would make no sense for anybody else to say, especially just a man. No man can make these claims. For a person to make these claims would show that he's God. We saw in John 7:46, if you remember, where the Pharisees had they wanted these men to catch Jesus, and they asked him why they hadn't taken him yet, and they said, "Never man spake like this man." They were captivated by him. They realized there's something different about this guy. He doesn't speak like anybody else. And they said back there, and I think it was in Mark, that the scribe that said that he spake as one that had authority and not as the scribes.
That's right.
So there was a difference the way that Jesus spoke. He didn't get up there and him and ha and say, "Well, this is what I think it means, but other good and godly men have thought otherwise." Or, no, he taught with authority.
That's
right. So the first thing, Jesus exhorted his disciples to believe on him just like they had believed on God. He said in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now the NIV and the New World Translation do get this one right pretty well. It says in the New World Translation, John 14:1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Exercise faith in God. Exercise faith also in me." There is a bit of a distinction here where the King James says, "Ye believe in God," where he's not telling them to believe in God.
Yes.
He's saying, "You do already believe in God."
In like manner, then.
Yes. But the New World Translation says, "Exercise faith in God." So it's like an imperative. It's telling you to have faith in God.
Good.
Now the NIV says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Pretty close to the King James, but I did include the note there that the NIV has, and it says right next to "you believe in God," it says "or believe in God." So you notice that the note would have it read just like the New World Translation does, whereas the note would have it say, "Believe in God." Instead of "you believe in God," it would say, "Believe in God, believe also in me." So it's interesting how many times the NIV follows the New World Translation. And the reason is because they're both translated from the same set of Greek manuscripts. So when you have garbage in, you get garbage out.
That's right.
And I just think it's so interesting that the majority of the time, this book, the non-inspired version, follows this book, the New World Translation, and everybody out there, every professing Christian, readily admits that this book, the New World Translation, is not the Bible at all. But yet the New World, or the NIV, follows that thing more than it follows the King James.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, and it has many of the same problems, many of the same missing verses, denies the deity of Christ many times, but yet for some reason people still think that this non-inspired version is the Word of God, when it is very similar to the New World Translation, which they would deny is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So Jesus would have been inviting a curse on himself if he would have told the disciples to believe on him like they believe on God, if he were just a man, especially. In Jeremiah 17:5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." So the Lord pronounces a curse on somebody that puts their trust or their faith in man. And yet Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus is telling them, "Put your trust in me," and yet God says, "You put your trust in a man, and you're cursed." So this tells us from the King James that Jesus Christ is God, because as God, he can tell them to put their faith and trust in him. Now the New World Translation does get a pass on this one, interestingly enough. It says, "This is what Jehovah says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in mere humans." Now, how they would get around this is they wouldn't say that Jesus was a mere human. They would say that he was a lowercase g God. So in their book, this would be somewhat consistent, even though they're clearly wrong about Jesus, but they do have a consistency between these verses here. The NIV also does pass on this one. This is what the Lord says: cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. So you'll find that a lot of these lesser proofs of the deity of Christ, the NIV will get correct. Because after all, if I'm the devil, if I'm going to corrupt the Word of God, I'm probably going to corrupt some of the big, good proof texts for the deity of Christ. I can't corrupt them all, but I'm going to corrupt at least some of them. But to go into the minutiae and get some of the ones that aren't outright proof texts of the deity of Christ and would be more of a reference verse than a proof text, the devil probably doesn't waste too much of his time with them. Here's another thing that Jesus said. He said that all men should honor him just like they honor the Father. Now, of course, no man could say this. Who of us could say, hey, honor me just like you honor God? I mean, none of us could say that. But Jesus could say that as God. He says in John 5:23, and all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Now, the New World Translation gets a pass on this one. But remember what I said last time. Whenever the New World Translation passes, it actually fails. Because the premise and the basis of the Jehovah's Witness religion is that Jesus is not God. So if the New World Translation passes on these verses showing that Jesus is God, then it actually fails. It fails their whole religion, the basis of their religion. In John 5:23 in the New World Translation, it says, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So they say that they ought to honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Now, why would you honor the Son if he's not God, capital G, why would you honor him just as you honor the Father? You could maybe honor him a little bit or something, but you wouldn't honor him just as you honor the Father. So I would say they failed to change this one enough to remove the deity of Christ, even though they actually got the text right. So they get the text right, they pass in the text, but they fail on their doctrine. The NIV says that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. So NIV does get a pass on that one. Jesus said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Remember in the King James. The New World Translation and the NIV both likewise get this one right. But remember, with the New World Translation, if they have Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, well, that would be a claim to divinity there. Jesus says that he gives his sheep eternal life. We've been over this verse many times in John 10:27 and 28. Who but God can give somebody eternal life? The New World Translation and the NIV both do get this one right. So once again, the New World Translation passes on the text but fails on their doctrine. And I'm not reading some of these because they're basically the same. Jesus, another thing that he said was that all power in heaven and earth was given to him. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, nobody but God can claim that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. Some despot here on earth, I suppose, could claim that all power on earth is given to him, which isn't even true. Obviously, he doesn't have all power. But who could claim that all power in heaven and in earth is given except for God himself? Right? Now, the New World Translation, they get the text right, but they mess up their doctrine by it. All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth, they say. The NIV likewise gets a pass on that one. Jesus said that he had power to lay down his life and to take it up again. In John 10 and verse 18, he says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The New World Translation basically gets this one right as well, as does the NIV. All right, here we have one that fails. And the ones that pass just aren't as fun. I like to get to the ones that fail. Jesus said that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You remember that one. Good proof for the deity of Christ. This one you would suspect that the New World Translation would definitely change, because this is a pretty plain statement of the deity of Christ. John 14 and verse 9, this is when Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" So Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Why? Because I and the Father are one. Because I am the express image of God's person.
Right.
That's why. But look at what the New World Translation says. And it just adds one little word. And one little word will change the text enough to change, to take away the deity of Christ. Remember, words, letters, everything, even punctuation points, are all important. The doctrine is in the grammar, the doctrine's in the words, it's even in the letters. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 3 about the seed versus seeds? He saith not seeds as a many, but as one, and thy seed, which is Christ. So here we go, New World Translation. John 14:9 says, Jesus said to him, "Even after I have been with you men for such a long time, Philip, have you not come to know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father also. How is it you say, show us the Father?" They added the word also. Did you notice that? It says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father also. Clever. See, the King James says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. By seeing Jesus, you see the Father. But the New World Translation says, anyone who has, how to say, whosoever has seen me has seen the Father also. Like they're two different people.
Yes.
And if you see me, well, you've seen him too.
Yep.
It'd be like Jason saying, hey, you know, if you've seen me in church, you've seen my wife too. Because she's usually there with me, right? But you're not saying that if you've seen me alone, you've seen my wife.
Right.
No, you haven't. So adding in the also there takes away from the deity of Christ. The NIV does get this one right. It says, I'll just cut to the chase here. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So apparently they forgot to add in the word that they were supposed to take away the deity of Christ. Here's another one where both the New World Translation and the NIV fail. Remember when Jesus said, when he was standing on earth, and he said that he was, not only was he on earth, but he was in heaven at the same time? John 3 and verse 13 says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." So Jesus says that he is in heaven when he's standing on earth. He doesn't say which was in heaven or which will be in heaven, but which is in heaven right now. So Jesus, being God, being divine, he is in heaven and are on earth at the same time. But look at what the New World Translation says. It says, "Moreover, no man has ascended into heaven, but the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." You notice anything missing there? How about which is in heaven? The Son of Man, which is in heaven. They leave off that little phrase there. So in this verse, it just says, no man has ascended into heaven, but the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. So he's saying, yeah, he descended from heaven, but he's not saying he's in heaven right now.
Right.
He just came from heaven. Now the NIV says the same thing. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Doesn't say the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Takes away, denies the deity of Christ. Just like the New World Translation. So I say, if you're going to read an NIV, just go all the way and read a New World Translation. Jesus said that he had glory with God the Father before the world was. All three of these versions basically say the same thing here, and I won't read that verse. But interestingly enough, like I said, with the New World Translation, it does say the glory that I had alongside you before the world was. But I guess what they would say is that Jesus was created before the world was created. So God created Jesus, and then Jesus created the world. So that's how they can get away with saying that Jesus had glory with God before the world was, and still maintain their doctrine. Another thing that Jesus, this is something that Jesus did, is that he accepted worship from people, and only God can accept the worship from people, because we're only to worship God. I'll give you a couple of examples here. On this one, the New World Translation fails. I believe it fails on every single one of these. Yeah, fail, fail, fail. Yeah, it fails on all of them. The NIV fails, well, on a few of them too. So, the first one here is Matthew 14:33 in the King James. It says, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, the New World Translation changes that, and it kind of sounds similar, but when you define the terms, it's not saying the same thing. It says, "Then those in the boat did obeisance to him, saying, you really are God's Son." Now, let's define the terms. We'll define worship, and we'll define obeisance, and we'll see if they're the same thing. Worship is to honor or revere as a supernatural being or power, or as a holy thing to regard or reproach with veneration, to adore with appropriate acts, rites, or ceremonies. This is a primary definition, Oxford English Dictionary. Now, obeisance, on the other hand, is the action or fact of obeying, obedience. Number three is a bodily act or gesture expressive of submission or respect, almost always a bending or prostration of the body in token of this, a respectful salutation, a bow or courtesy, obedience. So obeisance and worship are not the same thing. And there are many cultures today, when you go up and you meet somebody, Japanese cultures like this, Chinese culture, I think, I know Japanese for sure, when you go up, you bow to somebody. You're not worshiping them. You're showing them respect, just like we would shake a hand or give a hug or something like that. So you see, when you define the terms, the New World Translation is not saying that these men worshipped Jesus Christ. They were just obeying him. Hey, we obey people all the time, don't we? That's not worshiping them. The NIV does get this one right. It says, "Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God." So the NIV gets one of them right, but we'll see, as the devil is wont to do. He fouls up a couple of them anyway. And it would depend. A lot of these verses are parallel. Some of these, maybe not. In a lot of cases, you have parallel verses, so he'll mess up one of them, but he won't mess up the other one. So people can always say, but in the other account it does say. You know, I'm sure you've heard that before. In this case, these are actually not parallel verses. But Matthew 8 and verse 2, here both of these other blasted perversions fail. It says, "And behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." The New World Translation says, "And look, a leper came up and did obeisance to him, saying, Lord, if you just want to, you can make me clean." How can you read this thing with a straight face? Obeisance again. See it? Here's what the NIV says. "A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Knelt before him. Kneeling before somebody is not worshiping somebody. Big difference. You ever be desperate and you get down on your knees and ask somebody for something? You're not worshiping them. You're just desperate. Matthew.
You get down on your knees when you propose.
Exactly. And you're not worshiping.
No, you're just desperate.
Yeah, you're just desperate. Yeah.
Just desperate.
Yeah, that's right. Matthew 9:18. Here the NIV and the New World Translation both fail again. It says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." Here's what the New Worldly Translation says. "Well, he was telling them these things, look, a certain ruler who..." There's an exclamation point there. That's why I'm giving the emphasis. I'm trying to be true to the text here, giving the emphasis where it is due. A certain ruler who had approached did obeisance to him, saying, By now my daughter must be dead, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will come to life. Obeisance, not worship. And the NIV says, While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live. See, you notice in the New World Translation also, it says, By now my daughter must be dead.
Yeah.
So he's not even sure if she's dead, yeah. But in the Bible, she's actually dead. So the NIV and the New World Translation fail in this one, both of them.
Did you put that exclamation point in because it's in the Bible, in those Bibles?
It's in the, yeah.
And King James doesn't have those
no.
exclamation points.
No, there... I do believe occasionally there is an exclamation point in the King James, not in these verses, though. I would have to look. I think that there are a few places where there are exclamation points.
In the Psalms.
In the Psalms, I do. I think so. I can check that afterwards.
I was just wondering, though.
Yeah. Yeah, anything here I copied word for word, you know, so, yep. Believe me, I don't really need to malign these versions to make them look bad. They do a perfect job of looking bad themselves, so I don't even need to try to make them look bad. Matthew 28 and verse 9. Is this the one? Did I already read this one? No. Okay. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. This is after he's resurrected from the dead. Now, in the New World Translation, it says, And look, Jesus met them and said, Good day. Why don't they just say, G'day, mate? Good day. They approached and took hold of his feet and did obeisance to him. So there again, it fails. Obeisance instead of worship.
I don't know if I'd want anyone doing obeisance to me. I mean, it's just, it sounds absurd, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Good day.
Matthew 28 and verse 9, Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. So they actually did get this one, despite how goofy it sounds. They actually do say that they worshipped him in this one in the NIV. And one more, John 9 and verse 38. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. The New World Translation says, He said, I do put my faith in him, Lord, and he did obeisance to him. And the NIV says, Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. So the NIV got that one right. New World Translation got it wrong. So in every place there where it says that men worshipped him, the New World Translation takes that out of every single place. The NIV takes it out, what, at least twice or
at least twice,
three times?
Substitutes they know.
Yep, that's right. So at least twice. So I guess it gets an 80% on that one, but still not very. Is that an 80%? No, they did it twice. Oh, they failed. Yeah, two. So they got 3 out of 5. Oh, yeah, it's still only a 60%. Yeah, not 80%. What am I thinking? Yeah, so 60%. That's a failure. So the NIV has failed once again to prove that Jesus Christ is God. Now all these versions are going to agree here that only God should be worshipped. So at least with the New World Translation, they realize, oh, if you worship Jesus, that means he's God, so we got to take it out, right? Matthew 10 and verse 4, or 4 and verse 10 says, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. New World Translation says, Then Jesus said to him, Go away, Satan. Now, this would be Satan casting out Satan here. Remember what they said about Jesus? They tried to say that, you know, he was casting out Satan by Satan. Well, Jesus of the Jehovah's Witness Bible is Satan. So here you have Satan casting out Satan.
Yeah.
For it is written, It is Jehovah your God you must worship, and it is to him alone you must render sacred service. Nice alliteration, but it kind of sounds funny.
It's like secret service.
Yeah. Matthew 4 and verse 10 in the NIV says, Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So the NIV gets that one pretty right. So the NIV condemns themselves here because they say God has to be worshipped, and then they say that Jesus wasn't worshipped there in a couple of places. The other thing that Jesus did was forgive sins, which showed that he was God. Now, interestingly enough, the New World Translation does get this one right, but like I said, in passing, they actually fail. So let's read Mark 2, 5, and 10. The King James says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." This is when the men broke up the roof and let the guy down in front of him. And then verse 10, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy." And then he tells him to rise up and walk. Now, we'll read here in the middle of these verses, it was said that only God can forgive sins. So we'll get to that in just a second. But in Mark 2, 5, and 10, the New World Translation does show that Jesus forgave sins. It says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, child, your sins are forgiven." Verse 10. "But in order for you to know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth, he saith to the paralytic." And then, anyway, I didn't get the next verse completes the thought there. And in the NIV, it says the same thing. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Now, the interesting thing was, it says there in that account that only God can forgive sins in verse 7. Mark 2, 7, it says, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And there, this is the Pharisees saying this, but they're absolutely right. Who can forgive sins except for God? Now, the New World Translation gets this right. It says, "Why is this man talking this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins except one, God?" And the NIV says, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" So it's interesting, the New World Translation says that only God can forgive sins, but it says that Jesus forgave sins. But yet they say that Jesus is not God. So they got the verses right, but they've maligned their doctrine by doing so. Okay, so let's get into the New Testament here and see that the New Testament, outside of the words of Jesus, the words of the apostles and the other writers, how they declare that Jesus is God. We've already seen John 1, 1 through 3 in verse 14. We've been over this one, so I'm not going to read it again, I don't think. Although I guess I should, because it is such a key verse. So let's go ahead and do that. John 1, 1 through 3 and 14. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh," verse 14, "and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, the New World Translation, as we know, severely messes this one up by adding one little indefinite article, A, one little letter, and changing the case of one word. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Sounds good so far, doesn't it? "And the Word was a God." Big difference there. "This one was in the beginning with God. All things came into existence through him." Notice that. It doesn't say by him, it says through him. I find this interesting. We're going to see this throughout. We're going to see this in several verses where the New World Translation and the NIV say that things, that the universe was created through Jesus, not by Jesus. Now, sometimes by and through can be used interchangeably, but when you think of something being created by someone, you think about them doing it themselves. But when it's done through them, it could be somebody else doing it using them, right? It's interesting that the New World Translation says, it's actually not interesting because that's exactly what they believe. They believe that God used Jesus to create all things, but God himself didn't do it. But what's interesting is when we get to the NIV, it says the same thing. So let's continue on here. In verse 14, it says, "So the Word became flesh and resided among us, and we had a view of his glory, a glory such as belongs to an only begotten Son from a Father." Listen to that. "A glory such as belongs to an only begotten Son from a father, not the only begotten of the father. Mm-hmm. You know, as a, I mean, how strange. And he was full of divine favor and truth. So it fails for several reasons, because it replaces through with by, or it replaces by with through, and it also, of course, changes the it to say that the word was a god. Now, the NIV actually fails in this verse too, and it's because of this by and through thing. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Identical language to the King James, so it got that one good. "He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son." Doesn't say only begotten Son. "The one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So the NIV does the exact same thing that the Jehovah's Witness Bible does. It says, "Through him all things were created." By using through instead of by, this allows for the Jehovah's Witness doctrine that God used Jesus to create all things. I don't think it's a coincidence that the NIV follows the New World Translation on this one. Remember, little differences make the difference. Next one is 1 Timothy 3:16, which says that God was manifest in the flesh. Once again, the New World Translation and the NIV fail on this one. It says, the King James says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Who was manifest in the flesh?
God.
And who was that God that was manifest in the flesh? The Lord Jesus Christ. So the person that was manifest in the flesh was Jesus Christ, and this verse tells us that that person was God. God was manifest in the flesh. That's why Jesus could say, "Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father," because he was God in the flesh. But the New World Translation changes it just a little bit. Just changes a noun to a pronoun here. It says, "Indeed, the sacred secret of this godly devotion is admittedly great. He was manifest in the flesh, was declared righteous in the Spirit, appeared to angels, was preached about among nations, was believed upon in the world, was received up in glory." So it says he was manifest in the flesh. It doesn't say God was manifest in the flesh. So the New World Translation, by saying he was manifest in the flesh, is just saying Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. It's not saying the person that was in the flesh was God. It doesn't say that at all. Now, I would expect this kind of trash from the New World Translation. I wouldn't expect it from a book that calls itself the Holy Bible, the New International Version. But look what it says. 1 Timothy 3:16, "Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated in the Spirit," and blah, blah, blah. He appeared in the flesh. Doesn't say God was manifest in the flesh. He. And there's no antecedent to that pronoun he. It's not like when you go back to the next verse and we're talking about God here. It's just there's so you couldn't they couldn't prove that Jesus is God from this NIV here. Here's another one, 1 John 5:7. This is the Trinity verse. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." So there's our proof text for the Trinity. Three persons, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And these three persons are one God. Now, the New World Translation apparently must have run out of ink when they were printing, and they left off some of the verse. It just says, "For there are three witness bearers." And then they leave it up to your imagination to figure out who those three might be. The NIV says, "For there are three that testify." That's nice. Okay, no Trinity in the New World Translation or the NIV. Here's another one for you. Hebrews 1:8 says that the Son of God is God in the King James. Hebrews 1:8 says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So the King James says, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. So he calls the Son of God, God. Now the New World Translation messes this one up. We did mention this before, as when we were looking at the verse back in Psalm 45, but you may have forgotten, that was 2 weeks ago. So the New World Translation says, Hebrews 1:8, but about the Son, he says, God is your throne forever and ever. You notice the difference there? It kind of uses the same words, but they're in a little bit different, you know, order there. About the Son, not unto the Son, but about the Son, he says, God is your throne forever. The King James says, unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God.
Amen.
He addresses the Son as God in the King James. Totally different in the New World Translation. It gets a fail on that one. Now, the NIV actually gets a fail, too, and the reason is because, if you remember, when you go back, there's a note here, and the note says Hebrews 1:9 and Psalm 45:6 and 7. When you go back to Psalm 45:6, the note there says, it says, here the king is addressed as God's representative. So, you're looking in Hebrews, Paul's quoting from Psalm 45. It says here, but about the Son, he says, your throne, O God. But when you go back to Psalm 45, oh, there's a note here, and it says, actually, the king is being addressed as God's representative. So when you go back to the verse that Paul's quoting, it's not saying that the king is God, it's God's representative. So the notes cause the NIV to fail on that one, and we saw that one earlier. Here's another one for you. Philippians 2:6. See what I'm telling you? These are the core texts. These are the ones that I would use the best verses to prove the deity of Christ, and we see the NIV failing time after time after time on the best, most solid verses. Okay, Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So Jesus is in God, is in the form of God, and he doesn't think it robbery to be equal with God. For him to be equal with God is not to take anything from God that does not belong to Jesus Christ. He is God, and for him to claim to be God is not robbing God of anything. Here's what the New World Translation says. Who, although he was existing in God's form, gave no consideration to a seizure, namely, that he should be equal to God. Never didn't give any consideration to this seizure. I think the Jehovah's Witness translators were probably having seizures as they were translating this piece of trash. The NIV, non-inspired version, in Philippians 2:6 says, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Clearly doesn't say the same thing, does it? Gets a fail on that one. All right, John 5 and verse 20. 1 John, thank you. 1 John 5:20 shows us that Jesus is the true God. Looks like actually both the NIV and the New World Translation get a pass on this one. It says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. Now it says there, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. So, him that is true is his Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that from the definition of even, when it's prefixed to a subject, object, or predicate, or to the expression of a qualifying circumstance to emphasize its identity. So, it is, it says, hence still, archaic after biblical use, serving to introduce an apexegesis, namely, and it equals, namely, that is to say. So when it says, we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ, you could say, we are in him that is true, namely his Son Jesus Christ. It's identifying who him that is true is. It is Jesus Christ. So being in God is being in Jesus Christ. Now it's interesting, the New World Translation does get a pass in this one. They apparently didn't have their corrupting eyeglasses on when they were translating this one. But we know that the Son of God has come and has given us insight so that we may gain the knowledge of the one who is true, and we are in union with the one who is true by means of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and life everlasting. So it's interesting, they do change it to say by means of his Son. They don't identify him that is true with the Son of God, like the King James does. But they do say, this is the true God and life everlasting. So I don't know why they didn't change that. If I was them, I would have changed it. You know, if I'm trying to corrupt the Bible and take the deity of Christ out. The NIV says, I'll just cut to the middle here, and we are in him that is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. Still doesn't say even Jesus Christ, so it is a little bit different. It says he is the true God and eternal life. Now, interestingly enough, if you compare with 1 John 1:2, which shows us that Jesus Christ is eternal life, which is just further proof. So in John 5:20, it says that we are in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Well, when you compare that with 1 John 1:2, you see that Jesus Christ is eternal life. So it's just further identifying the true God with Jesus Christ. It says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. So that eternal life is Jesus Christ. The New World Translation actually gets that one right. It says, the everlasting life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. And so does the NIV. Romans 9 and verse 5 is another one, which says that Jesus is God who is blessed forever. In the King James, it says, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. New World Translation messes up this one, if you can imagine that. It says, to them the forefathers belong, and from them the Christ descended according to the flesh, God, who is over all, be praised forever. You see?
Yep.
See the change? It doesn't say that Christ is God. It doesn't say Christ is over all, God blessed forever. It says God, who is over all, be praised forever. You see, it breaks the link there. It doesn't call Jesus God. The NIV actually does pass on this one. It says, theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. So, they got that one right, amazingly enough. Here's another one. Jesus Christ is said to be the Almighty God in Revelation 1, 7 and 8. The King James says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So here's Jesus Christ, who's going to be coming in the clouds, and every eye is going to see him. We know that in, from Matthew 24, this is talking about Jesus Christ, of course. And this Jesus Christ, who's going to be coming in the clouds, says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. So he identifies himself with Jehovah, who says back there in the Old Testament that I am the first and the last. And he says, which is, which will, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ is the Almighty. The New World Translation, of course, fails in this one. And let's look what it says. It says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and those who pierced him. So who are we talking about here? Jesus Christ, of course. And all the tribes of the earth will beat themselves in grief because of him. It doesn't say, the King James says all the tribes of the earth shall wail because of him. So I guess they needed to explain why they're going to be wailing, because they're going to be beating and thronging themselves or something. So they will beat themselves in grief because of him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says Jehovah God. See? Says Jehovah God. You see there? They change it up a little bit. The one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, broke the link. says Jehovah God. See, they're not saying that Jesus is. They're saying that Jehovah God is the first and the last. He's the Almighty. So they attempted, listen to this, they attempted to remove the deity of Christ by saying that Jehovah God said that he is the Alpha and the Omega, and also by removing, quote, the beginning and the ending, quote, from verse 8, which links the statement to Jesus Christ in Revelation 1, 17 and 18. Because the King James says here, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. You notice in the Jehovah's Witness Bible, it doesn't say the beginning and the ending. It took that out. It just says, I am Alpha and Omega. But if you look in Revelation 1, 6, 17, and 18, which I do have here a little bit later, yeah, on page 16 in the Jehovah's Witness Bible, look what it says. Revelation 1, 17 and 18, it says, when I saw him, I fell as dead at his feet, and he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last and the living one, and became dead, but look, I am living forever and ever and have the keys of death and of the grave. So in the same chapter, verses 17 and 18, the Jehovah's Witness Bible says that Jesus is the first and the last. But when you go back to verses 7 and 8, it doesn't say I'm the first and the last. So you don't link up Jesus Christ with the Almighty. You see, they mess it up. The NIV fails in this one too. Revelation 1, 7 and 8, it says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, they also attempted to remove the deity of Christ by saying that the Lord God said that he is Alpha and Omega, and also by removing the beginning and the ending phrase from verse 8, which links it to verses 17 and 18, being Jesus Christ. Notice what it says there once again. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God. In the King James it says the Lord. Jesus is called the Lord many times in the New Testament. But when they say the Lord God, that makes us think about the Father, right? So they take away, you don't get the link there that Jesus Christ is the Almighty. You get the idea there that it's God speaking, and he's the Almighty. So NIV and the New World Translation both fail on that one. It says in Titus 2:13 that Jesus is the great God and our Savior, and that we're waiting for his appearing. The New World Translation fails on this one. The King James here says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The New World Translation says, while we wait for the happy hope and glorious manifestation of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see? Changes it a little bit there. By adding in of, they remove the deity of Christ. Because the King James says, the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But when the New World Translation says, the manifestation of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, it's like it's two different beings that we're looking for here, two different appearings. The NIV actually does get a pass on that one. Let's see what time it is. Okay, I think we'll definitely finish it up next time. I think, I'll tell you what, why don't we just do a little bit more here, and then next time won't be so long. Next time will be shorter. Because this one, we're just going to finish up things that are along the same lines as what we've been talking about with the first and the last thing. So just a few more minutes, you okay with that?
Yep.
Okay. And then next time will be shorter, so you'll be happy about that. The kids will, that is. All right, so we already looked at Revelation 1, 17 and 18. In the King James, it says, I am the first and the last, talking about Jesus Christ here. The NIV and the New World Translation both say that Jesus is the first and the last here, which is good. But remember what they did. They took out I am the first and the last in verse 7 and 8, so it doesn't link it back to he's the Almighty. You know, so they do get the first and the last there, though, so that's good. Jesus is also called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, in Revelation 21 and verse 6. In the King James it says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." The New World Translation does okay on this one. It says, I'm just going to get to the important part, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." The NIV, same thing. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Revelation 22:13, King James says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." New World Translation gets a pass on this one. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." The NIV likewise. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." So they pass on that one. Now, interestingly, the Jehovah's Witness Bible apparently didn't think far enough ahead to change these verses, because basically with these verses they've proven that Jesus Christ is God. So they pass on the text. Once again, they fail themselves on their own doctrine. Because the problem is that Jehovah God, God himself, the Father, says that he is the first and the last. In Isaiah 44, 6 and 8, it says, "Thus saith the Lord," this is King James, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts." This is a great proof for the Trinity too. "Thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts." "Thus saith the Lord, and the Lord, his Redeemer." So you got two entities here, two persons called the Lord. "I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." In verse 8, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." Now look at the New World Translation here. This is what Jehovah says. "The King of Israel, in his repurchaser, Jehovah of armies." Interesting. This is what Jehovah says, "the King of Israel and his repurchaser, Jehovah of armies. I am the first and I am the last. There is no God but me." Verse 8, "Do not be in dread and do not become paralyzed with fear. Have I not told each of you beforehand and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God but me? No, there is no rock. I know of none." Sorry, it's kind of hard for me to read. I'm trying to read this, but it's kind of strange. So it's interesting here that the Jehovah's Witness Bible upholds the Trinity, by accident, no doubt, although it does replace God with rock. So it's kind of interesting. It says, this is what Jehovah says, the King of Israel, and his repurchaser, Jehovah of armies. So it shows here, I mean, there's two members of the Trinity here, both called Jehovah. I'm sure that they didn't intend for it to say that, but it actually does uphold the Trinity. But they do replace God with rock there in verse 8. And here the NIV, look at what it says. The NIV actually is worse than the New World Translation on this verse. It says, "This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty." You see what they did there? "This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty." You don't have both persons of the Trinity in the NIV, do you? "I am the first, and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God." Verse 8, "Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one." See, the NIV fails here. It passes by showing that God is the first and the last, but it fails because it removes the references to the Trinity, the reference to the Trinity, by putting the King and Redeemer together and replaces God with rock there in verse 8. So instead of saying like the King James does, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts," the NIV puts the two of them together. "This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty." See, it destroys the Trinity. But the interesting thing is there that the New World Translation does call Jehovah the first and the last. And you go to the New Testament in Revelation, it calls Jesus the first and the last. So it does prove that Jesus is God. They messed up on that one. And Isaiah 48 and verse 12 will be the last one we look at. It says, "Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last." And both the New World Translation and the NIV both pass on this one. They both say that God is the first and the last. The other interesting thing is, and I know I brought this up before, but this is the verse back there in Isaiah 44:6 that one of the verses, actually there in verse 8, that the Jehovah's Witness get their name from. Because they say there, where does it say it? You are even my witness. You are my witnesses. And it says, this is what Jehovah says, and then go down to verse 8, you are my witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses, right? And yet they say, is there any God but me? No, there's no rock. I know not of any. So, but yet they say Jesus is a God. You know, so it's, I mean, their own verse condemns their position. And that's typical of a heretic. They are condemned of themselves. So next time we will finish up this study, Lord willing. So thanks for listening tonight.